how are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Good evening, and we are on tonight on this Tuesday night edition of the program, and we are awaiting to hear from our guest. He'll be on the line in just a moment, we hope, Gene Smith from Texas, and he has BibleTruth.com Ministries, if you will, on the Internet. You can look him up, and he, of course, is going to be talking tonight about a few issues that concern many of you, and one of them that has come up recently is the whole subject of the role of the Vatican and the good and the Catholic Church in the end times, and whether or not it has as significant a role as many have tried to suggest and preach and teach and so on and so forth. So right now, that will be one of the issues. But right now, let's welcome Gene Smith to the program. Hello, Gene.
How you doing?
Okay, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing all right tonight.
Excellent, excellent. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. And as you you just heard me say, there certainly is no shortage of subjects to talk about when it comes to the Scriptures.
Not at all.
And I know that I'm looking at a booklet before me now by Dr. Ronald Cook. Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well, the book is entitled The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy. How do you like that?
Well, that sounds interesting.
It does. It does. And we're going to get into some of this and what he claims and what he says and what you say and what the Scriptures say, see if we can make it all gel. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
All right. And we, of course, invite listener participation. That's the name of the game here on the program tonight at rbnlive.com. And the number, as ever and always, hopefully, is 1-800-313-9443. And, Gene, you have your own website, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And it is?
BibleTruthMan.com. But BibleTruthMan is one word, .com. And that means that I get my truth from the Bible. That's what
right.
That website means.
I like that. And you've been getting quite a bit of response from us by being on the program, huh?
Yes, I have. Some very interesting responses. And I have a forum on the web line where people can discuss the things on their own. And,
yep.
And it's very...
Do you have an interactive site, do you?
Yeah. It's a
very
forum
good.
Where people can come on there and discuss biblical matters or any matter, you know,
right.
Among themselves and even with me at times when I'm on there.
Excellent. And you've been getting a good response, so after tonight, I'm sure you'll be getting more of a response, no question about that.
Well, that's always good, of course.
Absolutely. Amen. All right. Well, we'll prepare now to take our first break. We don't just start immediately into a subject, but when we come back, I want to start off by dealing with this whole question about the Vatican, the Jesuits, and the global conspiracy, if you will, and how the Vatican fits maybe into end-time Bible prophecy. So, ladies and gentlemen, jump aboard. 1-800-313-9443 is the number. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, we're back now. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, to begin the program with our guest, Gene Smith. And yes, indeed, we are going to be talking about the Bible and Bible questions. But, Gene, let me just start off, okay, by just reading a little bit from this booklet, the chapter in the booklet, The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, the chapter that is entitled The Conspiracy of Misdirection. And he gets into, this author, whose name is Ronald Cook, gets into Romanism. And he talks about Romanism as having made unbelievable advances in the United States in the last 100 years. As one leading Roman Catholic spokesman said, "We are less than 100 years from Romanism and rebellion," referring to the slogan of American politicians at the close of the 19th century. Now, Gary Allen, I'm sure you know who he is.
Oh, yes.
He says, Gary Allen, in his examination of conspiracy, fails to come to grips with historical conspiracy. Now, listen to this. For one reason or another, he obviously ignores the documented religious conspiracies of history. Roman Catholic conspiracies are part of the historical record. Papal plots have been discovered and the conspirators arrested and brought to trial at various junctures of history. Father Chinigwe portrays Romanists as the main plotters in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. You can buy into that one. So the Vatican has been working night and day to shift the burden of conspiracy from its shoulders to some other groups of conspirators. Since the McCarthy era, extremist groups have painted almost every leader in the United States as communist, pro-communist, or an insider. No one has ever looked at the papal intrigue, which is still going on today as it has for over 1,000 years. And then he says, this is revealing right here. And this is where I'm going to stop and give you a chance to respond, since you're such an historian as well as a biblical expert. The Masons have become a favorite whipping boy for conspiratorialists writing on the great global conspiracy. While we do not approve of the Masons, we do not believe the Roman Catholic propaganda put out against the Masons. Yallop postulates, and he's talking about Mr. Yallop, a secret Masonic conspiracy against the Vatican in his work In God's Name. Michel Sinona is also linked to the Masons by Yallop, Malachi Martin, and other writers. Sinona came out of Sicily, the reputed home of the Mafia, but is regarded as a Mason by Martin. He is certainly a man of mystery, but try to link him to the Masonic Lodge and hint at some hidden conspiracy by the Masons to destroy the Roman Catholic Church through financial embezzlement is more fiction than fact. And then he goes on and on and on, and basically what he's doing is weaving his own theory that all of the problems that we face today in the world, from international intrigue to the Masonic alleged conspiracy, the Lincoln assassination, and so on and so forth, apparently come back to the Vatican. And what is your response to what little that I have just read to you now, Gene?
Well, I think a lot of people zero in on certain entities, either the Vatican, Masonry, or even the nominal Jews, of course. They zero in on the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. Actually, what we're dealing with here is a system that actually goes back to ancient Babylon,
mm-hmm.
that the Bible calls Mystery Babylon the Great in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. Mm-hmm. And she controls this beast in Revelation that at the time of the writing was the Roman Empire. This is clearly stated in verse 10,
mm-hmm.
Where it says there are seven kings or kingdoms, five are fallen and one is, and the other is yet to come. And then there's an eighth even. And the one that was at the time of the writing of Revelation, of course, was the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire was just an extension of the Babylon system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the nominal Jews took over Masonry in 1843 through the Scottish Rite,
mm-hmm.
and B'nai B'rith. And Masonry originally, of course, was a guild of stonemasons, and they became what's called Freemasons. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people think the Knights
yes.
Templar began Freemasonry, and I adhere to that somewhat. These are what you would call clubs, men's clubs exclusively, a lot of them. And they are not really the main thing that we should zero in on. I'm not saying these clubs or whatever you want to call them are Christian. I don't believe Masonry is Christian at all. I don't think personally that the Roman Catholic religion is that Christian. Its history definitely says it is not. It was created by Roman Emperor Constantine, who did a lot of murders after he supposedly converted to Christianity. And at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., he and the bishops basically created what is called the Catholic religion today. The Vatican, is the capital of Roman Catholicism. Yes, through the Vatican has held a lot of influence since the time of Constantine, during the Byzantine Empire, created by Justinian, Roman Emperor Justinian from Constantinople in the 6th century. Then you had the Holy Roman Empire, what's called the Holy Roman Empire, begun by Charlemagne when he was crowned by Pope Leo on December 25th, 800, and that lasted until Napoleon Bonaparte deposed the last Holy Roman Emperor in 1814. We see, yes, that Roman Catholicism has controlled the civil government of the Roman Empire through the Constantine Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the Holy Roman Empire. And then, of course, we have the Society of Jesus that basically was created in around the 1530s, established totally in 1547 by Ignatius and nine of his buddies from the University of Paris. The book, The First Jesuits, Tom O'Malley, I think is the author's name is. And he says definitely that a lot of the first Jesuits were Jews. There's no doubt about that. And by John O'Malley, excuse me, not Tom O'Malley. John mm-hmm. O'Malley is written in 1993. Yep. By production by the Harvard University Press.
Yes.
You can get this book. Everybody needs to get this book. It talks about the beginning of the Society of Jesus, known as the Jesuits today. And, yes, he definitely gives so much evidence that a lot of the first Jesuits, 10 of them from the University of Paris, were nominal Jews. Now, after saying that, they took over the Roman Catholic religion. Remember, the Roman Catholic religion persecuted the Sephardic Jews of Spain during the beginning of the Inquisition, later extending through to the Reformation and to the Protestants. And so the nominal Jews converted to Catholicism. Some of them there in Spain converted to Catholicism. They were called Marranos. Some of them came with Columbus over here. They didn't set foot on America, but they discovered the Caribbean, Panama, which led to the discovery of America, of course. Of course, America had been visited by the Vikings in the 10th, and well, as early as the 10th century, mm-hmm. the 11th century especially. Mm-hmm. But the settlement and colonization of America came after the Columbus expeditions. And a lot of Marranos were with him. And they were converts to Catholicism. They were nominal Jews convert to Catholicism, called Sephardic or Spanish Jews. The ones that did not convert, a lot of them fled to Holland. And a lot of them, though, that did convert to Catholicism became Jesuits. In fact, Ignatius, who was the superior, the leader of the Society of Jesus, beginning in the 1530s and culminating the Jesuitry in 1547, through his secretary, Polanco, who was a nominal Jew, a convert also.
Mm-hmm.
And they made big efforts to convert nominal Jews not only to Catholicism, but to the Jesuits also, especially in Italy. And I want to read something from this book, The First Jesuits, on page 192. Here's what it says. Quote, the original Ten Companions, that's the people from the University of Paris that began the Society of Jesus, who established the Society of Jesus, or the Jesuits, and their first recruits in Italy were for the most part Iberian expatriates, or Jews.
Yes.
Now, remember, Spain kicked out the Jews in 1492. Portugal did in 1496. They kicked out the nominal Jews. And but of course we're talking about after that fact that these nominal Jews were not kicked out. The ones that converted to Catholicism before this time were not kicked out. They were very much given wonderful places to live, and they were treated very nicely as Catholics. And of course, like I say, a lot of them became Jesuits. Mm-hmm. As I go on with this quote now, they thus carried a special awareness uh-huh. of Jewish-Christian tension with them into Italy. And
all right, hold that thought right there. We'll get right back to that quote when we return with our guest, Gene Smith. We're talking about the Scriptures and the Vatican right now. Join us. We'll take your calls, those of you on the line, in just a few moments. I'm Rick Adams.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored, Radio Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back now, and we'll be with our phone callers in just a few moments. Stay with us. Relax. Gene, you were quoting a specific sentence, and
yes,
I'll let you get back to it.
Thank you. I was quoting from the book, The First Jesuits, which anybody can order from any bookstore. I think it's still in print, of course. It's very modern, 1993. It's talking about on page 192 about the Iberian. Iberia is an ancient name for the Iberian Peninsula or Spain, and it's talking about these Iberian expatriates. These were the Sephardic nominal Jews that were kicked out of Spain and Portugal, mm-hmm. 1492 and 1496, respectively. But before that time, they had an inquisition against these people. A lot of these people were very wealthy. The reason the Roman Catholic religion organization persecuted these people because they were very wealthy. They had been money lenders, of course. They mm-hmm. had charged usury.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get a lot of these Sephardic nominal Jews into the Catholic religion through torture or whatever. And of course, be able to have access to that money through tithing and all that. And a lot of these people did. A lot of these Sephardic nominal Jews did convert to Catholicism. And then a lot of them went to Italy to become a part of the Jesuits. And this is where I'm going to continue now.
Yeah.
It says, quote, "The official policy of the society," that's the Jesuits, was to do away with the prejudices against Jews of their day. They worked to make it easier for Jews who wished to do so to become Catholics, or what they were called New Christians. They called them New Christians, and of course Spain called them Moranos. The Jesuits made it easier to for these Sephardic nominal Jews to become Catholics, mm-hmm. and join the society. Their interest in proselytizing promoted a shift in Rome in official policy in that regard, and lent support to the harsh measures against the Jewish community in Rome and the papal state of Roman Pope Paul IV, mm-hmm. and subsequent popes. This Jesuit openness to the Jews were mostly confined to Italy, since the majority of the Jesuits were at this time, we're talking about the mid-16th century, the majority of the Jesuits were located in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
There were few Jesuits in Europe at this time, and there were no Jews left in Spain after 1492 to convert. In Portugal after 1496. So all of these Sephardic nominal Jews converted to Catholicism, and a lot of them became Jesuits before 1492 and 1496. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they became Jesuits after Ignatius founded the society in the 1530s. And most of his 10 people from the University of Paris were nominal Jews that began the Jesuits. Now, they eventually controlled the doctrinal policy of Roman Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
In regard to political matters, and especially for against the Reformation. The Reformers were calling the papacy Antichrist, the Antichrist system, and Roman Catholicism part of the Antichrist system. So these Jesuits wanted to do something to counteract that,
mm-hmm.
and they did, and became very popular and wealthy in doing so. And they were mainly made up of nominal Jews, though, at the beginning. And so they have now, of course, and since that time, they have basically become political, and not just theological, but political, and they have just about every leader of every country that's Catholic, and you have a lot of Catholic countries, but you know, Mexico, Central America, South America, had some affiliation with the Jesuits, mm-hmm. or gone to Jesuit college. And we have a lot of political commentators today,
mm-hmm.
Like Pat Buchanan, who is a Jesuit graduate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people call themselves conservative. Bill Press, though, used to be with Pat Buchanan on cable television, a news mm-hmm. program. He's a Jesuit, but he was a liberal. So mm-hmm. you can have liberal and conservative Jesuits also.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
And so they play both sides,
yes.
Just like the nominal Jews play both sides.
Yes.
You have conservative nominal Jews today. You have liberal nominal Jews today. So, but the Jesuits control the Roman Catholic religion today, politically and theologically, totally. And a lot of them are nominal Jews today. Definitely.
And the tie-in, I'm interested in getting your view on the parallels with the Masons and Freemasonry.
Yeah. Well, the Freemasonry, of course, began, like I say, with Roman Catholicism. They were the stonemasons that built the big buildings, cathedrals.
Yeah, sure.
And I believe, personally, that the Knights Templar, who escaped, they were taken captive in 1307 by King Philip of mm-hmm. France. Their leader was executed, but a lot of them, I believe, fled eastward into Switzerland, and a lot of them took to their ships and went, I believe, to Scotland, and where to the Sinclair family, who were a part of the Knights Templar there, and they became basically created what we call Freemasonry today.
Okay.
And they became stonemasons. That's how they made their living after becoming Knights Templars.
Exactly, and there's much more to come. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Gene Smith, our guest, the Bible Answer Man, right here on RBNLive.com. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
And we are back now with Gene Smith in the state of Texas. You know, you're lucky to be in Texas, Gene, because right now I have everything on me. I have three layers of clothing in my home. I have a heavy coat on. I have a toque. I have mittens, boots, everything, because it's like 20 below.
Goodness gracious.
It's like we are having this Arctic blast, you know, from up north. And boy, I'll tell you, today was about the coldest day I can recall in many, many, many years. So anyway, no, I don't quite have that much on, but I'll tell you, it's cold.
I know it's been very rough up north this winter, and I'm not going to tell you what the temperature has been here lately. you wouldn't
probably in the 90s.
In the 70s and 60s.
There you go. You got me envious. Anyway, all right, I just had to throw that in as an aside. Now, if you're ready to take some phone calls, let's take a few calls, all right? All right. And let's see what kind of consensus we can arrive at here on the subject that we're dealing with for this particular moment. And, again, you may agree, you may disagree, but please, let's be civil. Right here on the program, with Rick Adams and Uncensored Radio Free America, 800-313-9443. Let us start in New York with Gloria. Hello, Gloria.
Hi. Greetings to the two of you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thanks. When I was a little girl, I used to go to the church, the Catholic Church in New York, and my family did, and neighbors, everybody. But I remember the priests, they were Irish, you know, basically Anglo priests. I recently went to a church with a friend, and I was shocked. I've gone to all the churches, you know, with friends. And it seems that all the priests, they're Jewish. And you were talking about the Vatican and how they are, there has to be connections with Masons and as well as other secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is so much evil going on over there in Italy in this Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you have Cokie Roberts, who is Jewish, and she is the ambassador to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
That's more proof there. There is so much, activity, evil activity in Italy right now. They are awash in Jewish mafia. 2 months ago, they arrested a bunch of Jews that were responsible for missing children. And these children, of course, were going for, you know, the underworld sex trade. They especially want white, blue-eyed, you know, beautiful little children. And they were going for the sex trade. The ritual murders, these little children were being dispersed, you know. Then, thank God they arrested them, but there are many more where they came from. Also, a couple of weeks ago, what happened a couple of weeks ago? The mafia and, anyway, it's, Italy is awash in these Jews. That are they just seem to run everything in Italy, which also shows that Italy is, you know, I just feel bad for them. It's a shame that all the churches, even here in America, they're all run by the Jews. So this is what I'm seeing, and it's very disturbing to me. I don't know where this is gonna, you know, what's gonna come of this, but I wish people would wake up and see that this is not what it used to be. Our churches are way different. Not to say that there wasn't evil even in the old, early churches, but what's happening now is it's just too far gone. I just want to know what you guys think. And
all right, let Jean. Yeah, all right, fine. Thank you for your call. First time caller, I think, too. All right, go right ahead. Jean, what is your response to what she has said?
All right. The mafia, of course, was made up of Sicilian nominal Jews. They've called themselves the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
They claim to be Italians, and a lot of them claim to be Roman Catholic. And they came from Sicily around the turn of the century. They got rich when the United States government introduced Prohibition in 1919. It made the mafia wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you had just basically your nominal Jewish mafia, and you had what they call the Italian mafia, who were nominal Jews also, but they were just from Sicily. Italy kicked out the nominal Jews also, and they went to Sicily. And Palermo is the capital there, where they really migrated to America from. Like I say, actually late in the 19th century, and especially around the turn of the century, the 20th century. And they became wealthy through Prohibition, and a lot of the mafia, the U.S. government says, has been destroyed now. But if you want to believe what the U.S. government says...
No, I don't. I don't want to believe.
I think you're very naive. But what I'm saying is we have the Russian mafia now who are nominal Jews, by the
way. The Organizitsia. Yeah.
Yes. When Trotskyite communism fell in the Soviet Union, it was Stalinist communism that basically fell in the Soviet Union. And now the Russian mafia has taken over totally. And, of course, they're headquartered here in America, up in the Northeast, and in Florida they have been. And they're all run by nominal Jews, and there's no doubt of it. You can ask anybody that works in that area of law enforcement, with the FBI or whatever, they know that they are. And but what I'm saying is that a lot of these people claim to be Roman Catholics, of course. And, like I say, the Catholic religion... through the Jesuits especially, brought in all these nominal Jews beginning back in the mid-16th century. They took over the masonry in 1843 through the Scottish Rite of B'nai B'rith, and so they control masonry now. And so they're basically, you know, they control all these organizations, but we have to get to the nitty-gritty, and the nitty-gritty is that these Antichrist people control all these entities, and a lot of these entities, of course, you know, are not Christian. They have their origin in ancient Babylon. They're part of the harlots. Revelation 17:5 says that Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlots,
mm-hmm.
and the one of the harlots is Judaism from the Babylon Talmud.
Would
and
you consider?
Yes. Yeah, so you see, another harlot is masonry.
Yes.
Another
yes.
harlot is Jesuitry.
Right. Right.
But it all comes from this mother, called Mystery Babylon.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Which is talking basically about ancient Babylon.
Would you consider the Vatican itself, then, Roman Catholicism itself, to be one of the harlots?
Yeah, I consider that definitely, because one of the religion of ancient Babylon was pagan sun worship. And what Constantine did, he was a sun worshiper. He worshiped the sun god Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And he supposedly became a Christian when he saw supposedly a vision of the cross on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
He said he saw a vision of the cross on the sun. He related Christ Jesus to Apollo. He thought Apollo was Christ Jesus, and so after that, and he won his battle against Maximian there at the in 312 A.D. at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. He took over the Western Roman Empire. He eventually took over Licinius, who was the emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire, and Constantine in 325 A.D. Had the Council of Nicaea and in Turkey there, and all these bishops came, and they basically developed the doctrine of Roman Catholicism there and basically established Roman Catholicism at that time. Catholicism was married to the Roman Empire under Constantine. The Byzantine Empire begun with Justinian, and the Holy Roman Empire begun with Charlemagne in 800. And that lasted until Napoleon defeated the last Holy Roman Emperor in 1806 and crowned himself a Holy Roman Emperor. And, of course, when he was deposed in 1814 there at Waterloo, that ended the Holy Roman Empire. But Napoleon was a Catholic. All of the, like I say, the Jesuits and the control the Roman Catholic religion now, and they basically control the College of Cardinals that elect the Pope, and it all you have to give allegiance to the Jesuits in order to be a Pope, in order to be a leader of any Catholic country today. And by the way, the United States Supreme Court is made up of nominal Jews and Catholics. That's what those nine people are now. The two appointees that Bush Jr. appointed were Catholics. How about
Roberts and Alito?
Yeah, they're both Catholics.
Okay,
and they're both, and I think they're tied in. Of course, they might be Jesuits too. I think they are.
All right, let's take another call. 800-313-9443. Richie in Louisiana. Hello, you're on the program, Rich.
Hi, Rick, Mr. Gene.
Hey, good to have you, Rich. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Rick, I do have a little advice for you real quick, though.
Turn up the furnace?
Yeah, that'll warm you up. You can take some of those big overcoats off.
You mean, I'm talking the spiritual furnace, or, I mean, what are you talking
about? You were saying how freezing you were just
I mean, it is cold, very cold, but I wasn't to that extent. I'm not wearing mittens, not yet.
We want to make sure you're nice and toasty up there.
Well, you see, we have the little thing called the oil men, who love to rake in the big bucks, as we know. And yes, indeed, they're doing it with gasoline now. And once again, the excuse is we're shifting from winter gas to spring gas. And because there's such a difference, we must see a noticeable increase in the price of gas. But rest assured, it will come down again.
Sounds like they're full of gas.
Yes, it sounds it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Mr. Gene, in regard to, I guess mine is kind of going to be a complex question. I want to hear you describe the difference between Sephardic Jews, Khazarian Jews, Jews who, like up until just a moment ago, I didn't realize that Sicilian Catholics were Jewish. How many of these groups don't know their origin, that they're Jewish? And I'll use this just as an example. Michael Corleone and Tony Soprano, I know they're fictitious characters, but they represent a group. Do they know that they're Jewish?
Well, I think the real mafia definitely knew they were nominal Jewish, definitely. You had Lansky, Meyer Lansky, and you had Lucky Luciano. They were the leaders of the mafia there in New York. And, of course, Capone took over in Chicago. And you know, these were nominal Jews. Now, some of them claimed to just be Italians. They wanted to hide the fact they were nominal Jews, see. And they claimed to be Italians. And they claimed, you know, that connection to Sicily, which it was part of Italy, of course. And a lot of these people were Roman Catholics, too, by the way. So the word Jew is not a religious word anyway in the Bible. It's a nationalistic word. And the Ashkenazi, we're not the Sephardic were your Spanish branch of nominal Judaism. Some of them could have been true Israelites. We're not talking about your Ashkenazi, Khazar, Hittite variety at all. They did not convert to Catholicism. They were not a part of the Inquisition. They were mainly in Poland, Russia, Eastern Europe. Your Sephardic were in Spain. They're the ones that went through the Inquisition and converted to Catholicism. A lot of them did. Some fled to Holland. A lot of them were killed.
And the Sephardics have a direct line to Israel? A true bloodline, genetically?
They could, because you see, the Israelites of the Assyrian captivity went west. And they went from their Assyrian captors there south of the Caucasus Mountains. That's where we're called Caucasians. Mm-hmm. That's why the Caucasian people, or the Israel people of the Bible, were called Caucasians. Why are we called Caucasians? Because our people were taken captive by the Assyrians in the late 8th century B.C. and taken to the area between the Black and Caspian Seas, just south of the Caucasus Mountains. A lot of them went through the Caucasus Mountains, called the Dariel Pass today. Some of them went around the Black Sea. Some of them went around the Caspian Sea. And they became all of these various names in history that historians know existed, but they just don't know where they came from because they don't know the Bible. And a lot of them reject the Bible, so they reject the knowledge that would tell them where these people came from. But, you know, your Sephardic could have been Israelite because they went west. They ended up in Spain. The Spain was settled by the Visigoths. They were settled by the Alans, A-L-A-N-S. And your Suave settled Portugal. And these were all Israelites. And the Sephardics were with them, and they came over here with Columbus as Catholic Marauders, and you know, they could have definitely would have been Israelites, but your Ashkenazi definitely were not Israelites. They're the ones that the rabbis of Judaism today are Edomites. They're not Israelites either, and but your Ashkenazi came from your Khazars, which came from your Hittites, and your Mongolian people also. And also the Huns, the Attila the Hun, remember Attila the Hun, and the Magyars of Hungary that attacked Europe, and the Magyars were defeated by Otto the Great in 995 at the Battle of Lechfeld in Austria. And Attila was called the Scourge of God, and he was would have taken over Rome except for the Roman Bishop Leo, who basically talked him out of attacking Rome. And nobody knows really what Leo told him, but I think he told him that there was a plague in Rome at that time and that he and his soldiers would all be killed if they attacked Rome. And
Richie, does this answer most of your question, Rich?
Yes, it does. And to cap it, just how does all of these groups and these nominal Jews and these organizations fit into prophecy and the end times? And I'll hang up.
Very good. Good question. All right. Hey, that's a loaded one for you.
Well, again, yes, they are part of the Babylon system. The Babylon system is to last until Christ Jesus returns. In Revelation chapter 18, it talks about the fall of this Babylon system. It is a system. It's a political system. It's a an economic system, and it is a religious system. And I have a very good essay I will send people called Satan's Great Deception that talks about the religious part of this and how pagan sun worship of Babylon became basically incorporated into the Church of Rome, which Constantine made into what we call Roman Catholicism today, which is now run by the Jesuits, which were created by the nominal Jews of the University of Paris through Ignatius in the 1530s. You've got to connect the dots, Rick. You know, a lot of people know a lot of these events in history.
Yes.
But what I try to do is connect the dots. But the Babylon system is to last until Christ Jesus comes and destroys this system. And when John wrote the Revelation, it was the Roman Empire that was a part of this Babylon system.
Right, right.
And there was to be a, it says, there's seven kingdoms, five are fallen, this verse 10 of Revelation 17. One is, that's the Roman Empire, one was yet to come, and then there's an eighth one. We're living in the eighth one right now.
And that will be from Jerusalem, undoubtedly. All right, we'll be right back with more Gene Smith, the Bible Answer Man, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Rick Adams, your radio Avenger.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Well, we're back now with Gene Smith. And, Gene, the other question that... Our guest caller, Richie, had asked you about how it all ties in, and you sort of touched on that with what you just said before the break. But just to elaborate a little bit, and, yeah. and we have sure. other calls, obviously. We'll get to you all. The Revelation, the book of Revelation in the King James Version, as you know, in chapter 13, in verse 11, for instance, talks about these beasts.
Right.
Not one, but two beasts that come, okay? And he says, John says, "And I behold another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the whole earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Mm-hmm. Now, what is he talking about here?
All right. The beast of Revelation 13 is the Roman Empire. You lose the book of Daniel to prove
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
This beast has all the animals, has the lion. It has the leopard, and all of these beasts that you find in Daniel chapter 2 and 7 are incorporated in this beast. It's the bear. It has the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, verse 2 we're talking mm-hmm. about here. These beasts compromised the Babylon Empire, the Media-Persian Empire
mm-hmm.
that conquered
yep.
Babylon,
yes.
And then the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great that conquered Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Roman Empire, which was this beast in Revelation 13, which conquered Greece and Egypt, that was controlled by Egypt. It was controlled by the Greeks also, Cleopatra being the last queen of Egypt, of the Ptolemy dynasty there, the Greek dynasty there. So we see that Rome is this beast, and it did have a deadly wound in 476
mm-hmm.
A.D.
Mm-hmm.
The last Roman emperor of the West, Romulus Augustus, was
yes.
Deposed by the Goths, and then Rome was the wound was healed. Justinian in 554 A.D. Reconquered Italy and Rome from the Goths. And made the Western Roman Empire live again. And then, of course, you had Charlemagne in 800 A.D. creating the Holy Roman Empire and incorporating the Western Roman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire. And the horn that spoke as a lamb symbolically in the Bible pictures Christianity,
mm-hmm.
of course. Christ Jesus is the Lamb
mm-hmm.
of God.
Right.
And but was a dragon. If you go to Revelation chapter 12, you see that the dragon in verse 9 is Satan the devil. We let the Bible interpret itself.
Right,
that's what
right.
a lot of people do not do. That's why they don't understand the
that's
Bible.
Right. That's
they do
right.
not let the Bible interpret itself. The book of Daniel interprets Revelation a lot for us.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of this is history, Rick. The Revelation is history. A lot of it's history. It's not all future.
No, like that's absolutely right.
Want to make it.
That's right.
It's history from the basically from the time John wrote the book of Revelation around 95
and
AD.
Then there are those who say certain things are past when they are future. So
exactly.
they do the same thing.
You know why, Rick? They don't know history. That's why they say that, because
that's
they
right.
don't know the fulfillment of these
right.
prophecies in history.
Exactly.
If putting them all in the future, they don't have to know history, do
no,
they?
No, they don't. All right, Gene, stay where you are. Hour number two coming right up, and more calls just ahead. We'll get right to you as we continue this fascinating program tonight with a Bible Answer Man, Gene Smith. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.